Patron, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. Where there is hatred, we will sow his love. Where there is injury, we will never judge. Where there is striving, we will speak his peace to the people crying for release. We will be his instruments of peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. Where there is blindness, we will pay for sight. Where there is darkness, we will shine his light. Where there is sadness, we will bear their grief to the millions crying for release. We will be his instruments of peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. Please be seated.
You, my friends, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put a bowl over on top of it. No. They put it on its stand, and so it gives light to everyone in the house. In the very same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, good morning, you beloved community. So grateful to see you today here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. We see some long-timers here, some friends who have come from some family members. Jim, so glad to see you today with Lois. And we have some guests today, too. Those of you online, brand new camera we have back there. So, Jeff, thank you for help setting that up, and hopefully it goes really well today. I'm confident in all of Jeff's skills, and so it will be just fine. I think. Jeff, I didn't mean to add that last part. That's my fault. Well, we are here today to worship God, to encourage one another in faith, and to say to each other, the kingdom of God is near. Can you sense it? Can you hear that? We'll do that today through our songs and our scriptures, through our silence after Dee's reading and our sermon. Let's also sense the nearness of God's kingdom among this community. So for about a minute or so, let's stand up. Let's greet those around you. I will come back up. We'll remain standing for our psalm, our call to worship, and the songs that follow. Let's do that for a moment now, please. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 119. Let's remain standing for this and for the songs that follow. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Let's worship in song together.
Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You are exalted, Lord, above all else. We place you in the highest place above all else. Right now where we stand and everywhere we go, we place you at the highest place so the world will know. You are a mighty warrior, dressed in armor of light. Crushing the deeds of darkness, lead us on in the fight. Through the blood of Jesus, victorious we stand. We place you in the highest place above all else in this land. You are exalted, Lord, above all else. We place you in the highest place above all else. Right now where we stand and everywhere we go, we place you in the highest place so the world will know. You are a mighty warrior, dressed in armor of light, crushing the deeds of darkness, lead us on in the fight. Through the blood of Jesus, victorious we stand. We place you in the highest place above all else in this land. You are a mighty warrior, dressed in armor of light, crushing the deeds of darkness. Lead us on in the fight. Through the blood of Jesus, victorious we stand. We place you in the highest place above all else in this land, above all else. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you, and I thank you, Lord, and I thank you. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. Thank you.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. I got a little pip in my step today because of Steve Stamps, but he told me, you know, I need to start talking loud. So let's lead this prayer. Yesterday, we had a family reunion. My mama, Great Annie, she turned 110 years old. And she is so, so wonderful in church. So let's pray for the elders, and also I want to thank every one of y'all because I finished my 9 weeks at Bowles Place. So I'm going for a second 9 weeks. So Father God, we come boldly before you in front of your throne, Father God. Father God, you know you are our miracle worker, Father God. Father God, you set us free, Father God. Anything that's crossed our path, Father God. Father God, you deliver, Father God. Father God, you said in your word, Father God, my grace is sufficient for you. Father God, each and every one of us, Father God, we have blessing. We have wonderful deeds, Father God, and the people, Father God. Father God, we're going to ask for healing for Mr. Kent, Father God. Father God, we ask for healing for each and every one of us, Father God, in this place, Father God. And Father God, you know, the message that you sent, Father God, let it sink down into our hearts, Father God. Father God, I want to thank each and every one of us for giving me the support to come out to deal with grief, Father God, to deal with depression, Father God. Father God, you're the only one can fix this, Father God. Can't no one fix this but you, Father God. And Father God, let's pray for the people that's in the hospital, Father God, that's need healing, Father God. Father God, heal them, touch them, just like that said, that lady said. If I could touch the hem of his garment, Father God, I will be made whole. Each and every one of us are made whole. When you go to school, the kids, they are made whole because they teach you, need to know the word of God. And they need to bring prayer back into school, Father God. So Father God, I ask Pastor Steve, I want to pray over this congregation, Father God, because they've been so supportive of me, each and every last one of y'all. Even when I'm not here, even when I'm not feeling good, God give me the strength. And I thank each and every one of y'all. And I thank God for raining down and opening up the heavens, Father God, for every one of us that need blessing and healing, Father God. And Father God, Pastor Steve used this platform, Father God, for salvation. It's free. Don't nothing cost. It's just free. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
In our world of sorrow, bring your life again. Guide us. us as we follow. Teach us as we pray. Give us strength to borrow, to return in praise. Light for our tomorrow, God who comes to save. Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save. Wrapped in human weakness, to our world you came. Carrying our sickness, suffering our shame, dying for our wickedness, rising up again. Victor over darkness, God who comes to save. Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save. Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save. God who comes to save.
After the scripture reading, we're going to have some silence. As I read, some word or some phrase will stick in your mind. Think on that. Matthew 16:21-28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and to be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death.
All right, I would like to invite our Roots friends to the Roots table at the back right corner. If you'd like to be a part of that, you certainly can. Miss Brandy and Ellery are heading that direction. So glad for your presence here today. Caleb, thank you for leading us in song today. I appreciate that. And Jesse, for praying. We celebrate 9 weeks with you at Bowles Place. We're so thankful for that. And a few more weeks to come. We are with you all the way. And Dee, thank you for reading our text for it this morning. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly this day, this morning, we seek you. So would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. We are just over halfway in our series in Matthew's Gospel. 14 weeks down, 12 to go before we knock on Advent's front door in early December. You and I both knew this series would go fast, for life does the same, with Sundays coming quicker and quicker every week. If you don't already, take these gatherings and these days with each other as a gift. Receive them as a gift, holding them lightly for their passingness, holding them confidently in light of who holds us. Our 3+ month journey has brought us quite far, so for a bit, let's pause, grab a seat, and recap what we have heard. We began, you may recall, with 9 straight Sundays from the Sermon on the Mount. There is so much in that sermon that we can barely scratch the surface of it now. The Beatitudes, the light of the world, the but I tell yous, the secreted rewards, the unencumbered gift of letting go, the do not worries, the ceasing of judging others, the faithful prayers to a faithful God, the slick prophets who will devour you alive, the parable of the house. You can find in full all 9 of those conversations on our website if you would like to revisit any one of them. Everything in that sermon, we said, set the stage for everything that follows in Matthew. Jessica Vaughn rode that first wave, preaching 5 weeks ago on sinners and tax collectors and how Jesus loves to eat with them. They are the reason I came, he and she both said. 4 weeks ago, I preached on Jesus' compassion toward the crowds of people who kept on coming, who would not leave him alone. At that time, he appointed 12 apostles to do exactly what he had been doing: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons, and to preach a very short sermon, "The kingdom of heaven is near." Close. The kingdom of heaven is near. 3 weeks ago, a call to purposeful rest. Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. 2 weeks ago, we jumped into the parables. First, we heard the parable of the sower, that extravagantly wasteful character who tosses seed around wherever, paths, rocks, weeds, rich soil. And last Sunday, we heard 5 short parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. There you go. Like a mustard seed, a bit of yeast, a treasure buried in a field, a pearl of highest quality, a fishing excursion. These down-to-earth things, hidden in plain sight, teach us to search for the kingdom of heaven wherever we find ourselves. This morning, as we stand back up to get moving again, we need to squeeze into a little plane for a quick flight over Matthew's chapter 14, 15, and most of 16. We won't spend a whole morning with any of the stories found there, but how about a quick glimpse? If you look out your right-hand window, there's Jesus feeding 5,000-plus people with but a snack, some bread, some fish, it looks like. Just beyond that, and I know it's getting dark outside, but do you see that lake way over there? You can just see this tiny figure gliding gracefully on the top of the water surface. Don't ask me how. That's Jesus, and yep, there's Peter bravely, or foolishly, stepping over the side of the boat, and yep, down he goes, needing rescue. If you look now through the window on your left, that down there is the region of Tyre and Sidon, the western edges of Jesus' walkable ministry. That woman you see is a Canaanite, a traditional enemy of the Israelites. And there's Jesus, and you can barely make out what he's saying to her, something about taking bread from kids and tossing it to the dogs. Doesn't sound very nice. But anyway, you may have noticed that we have just crossed the border over into chapter 16. Right down there is the town of Caesarea Philippi. Nearby, Jesus is having an old-fashioned Q&A with his disciples. Peter's A to Jesus' Q results in a great blessing to him and a set of keys to the kingdom that Peter may or may not yet be qualified to drive. We'll touch on that more in just a bit, but for now, as we make our final descent, please make sure you are buckled up, your seatbelt fastened, as we touch back down. Thank you for flying with us. Getting off the plane and looking around, we know that we've been here before. This is familiar ground. If you have been a part of this congregation for a little while, it should be familiar. We preach on it quite frequently, this text that Dee read to us earlier. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each have versions of this call to discipleship. This morning, I'm going to do something I never do. I am going to recycle a sermon. I'm not sure who made the rule, but recycling a sermon is, in some Christian circles, a cardinal sin, a no-no for preachers. Isn't that right, Steve? I don't know if this issue is unique to preachers, but I do know that poets get away with it all the time. Fans showing up to hear them recite beloved poems. My daughter, too, she can reread the same book over and over again and never tired of it. Last week, and Reggie, this one's for you, I watched on TV a replay of a basketball game, a playoff basketball game from 2002, the Dallas Mavericks versus the Sacramento Kings. That was fun, even though my Mavericks still lost. But sermons are supposed to be different. Weekly sermons are supposed to be fresh and energetic and soul-stirring, and if you can make people laugh, bonus points. Mostly, it's supposed to be original. Don't use your old material. Isn't that kind of lazy? That's one way to look at it, I guess. But as someone who picks up, to my wife's chagrin, discarded plastic bottles and places them in the back of my truck to take home, I view recycling as an opportunity for newness. The sermon has been used, yes, and there's a good chance it's already been forgotten and discarded. But perhaps there is life in it still. Perhaps it will be reawakened into another use. So this part of today's homily comes from the back half of a sermon I preached on September 19th, 2021, Mark's version of the call to discipleship, here adjusted to fit Matthew's language. Jesus does not intend to be the kind of Christ that Peter, the disciples, or anyone else thinks he should be. Although Peter had just said the right thing, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," what kind of Christ? That is Peter's main problem. His mental image is of a Christ who will reign and rule with a power that vanquishes enemies and gives his closest friends cabinet positions and oozes miracles from the hems of Jesus' robes and maybe Peter's robes too if he had his way. But Jesus says to Peter, "Don't tell this to anybody." In contrast to the "don't talk about it" policy Jesus commands his disciples, Matthew says that Jesus speaks quite openly about what Christ truly means. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. In telling his disciples who he is, Jesus feeds them a new mental image. You want to know Christ? He is the one who endures suffering, rejection, and death, and will be raised again. Peter, spokesperson that he is, takes it upon himself to explain to Jesus the error of his thinking. That's kind of him. Pulls Jesus aside. "Look, I thought we had a really good thing going on here." A performance like that may simply be a cover-up of Peter's own fear of suffering. He has surely seen and heard the opposition, and as certain as he is in Jesus' power, there's no reason to poke the bear if you can help it. It could also be that Peter just loved his friend, his brother, Jesus. He cannot stand the thought of anything bad happening to him. Whatever Peter's motivations, Jesus rebukes him. "Get behind me, Satan," a scolding if there ever was one. "You are a stumbling block to me." The rock of the church has become a blockade to Jesus. Peter likely took that reprimand personally, but the rebuke is more toward Jesus' own temptation. He is enticed to believe that God's anointed can avoid suffering, rejection, and death. Do you remember that Satan in the wilderness once tried to tempt Jesus before? Tried to tempt him with power and prestige and popularity? And here we have it again, the temptation to dodge any hurt. But this kind of Christ, if he is going to rescue anything or anyone, he will have to suffer for it, suffer for them, suffer with them. When everyone, including the faithful disciples, thought that the Christ could conquistador his way to control, redemption of creation instead will come through suffering and shame and sorrow. This is what the Christ, the Messiah, will do. Peter would eventually learn that, but for now he sets his mind below instead of above. He tries to count the blessings of following the Christ he thought he knew, but not count the cost of following the Christ that Jesus actually is. Following that kind of Christ would mean that he and every disciple would have to lose, would have to let go of what they thought they understood, and who really would want to go along with that? As painful as loss is what his disciples most need. Jesus turns away from Peter and faces his disciples, and he says this, join me, please, the part in yellow. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And Jesus goes on to say, what good will it be for you to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Jesus addresses the core of discipleship by asking them to change their mental image of what it means to follow him. He gives them new Christ language. If you want to come after me, you have got to deny yourself. You've got to pry yourself off the center. The earth does not revolve around you. Stop gripping stuff and security blankets. Crush the idols you worship that are merely projections of yourselves or your religious preferences or your political affiliations. Denying yourself is not about self-rejection. Self-denial is about opening yourself up to a whole new kingdom, a new Christ, a new community around you where you can finally see your identity clearly. If you want to come after me, take up your cross. Taking up your cross is different than saying, we all have our crosses to bear. This is not about accepting the minor inconveniences that come your way. Remember that the cross originally was not a Christian symbol worn as jewelry, but a Roman intimidation tool meant to keep an occupied people in line. Taking up your cross is crazy talk when you're supposed to avoid everything you can to avoid it. For Jesus, the cross is not a death wish, but a voluntary action. You choose this. Getting underneath the weight of pain and suffering and shame. It will cost you a lot to get beneath it, which is why many people don't. Because you will have to let go of everything else in order to hold on. By choosing it, though, you believe or you hope that that is where the Christ will be found. If you want to come after me, then follow me. Let Jesus lead you. Let his life become the direction of your life. Don't ask for a softer gospel. Pray for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. Reenact as Christians his Christ movements, suffering, rejection, dying, raising. Embrace and embody this story, trusting that his Sermon on the Mount is the way of life. Practice resurrection, dead to self people walking around in confidence and in love and in service to the least. Trust that God will lift you up in the end. Do not be afraid. I think I am at the point in my life in my ministry, where I want few things more than to be part of a dying church. Not in the sense that numbers dwindle so low that we have to shutter our doors and bury the church sign, but dying in the sense of taking Jesus's call seriously. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. These all involve a painful death of a certain kind, funeral of things we all hold dear, a sacrifice of mental images we have been told all of our lives. But let us also believe that these processions take us directly into the heart of the gospel, into the heart of all good news, and into the heart of God. I understand that this congregation has a mission statement as God has loved us. We have banners of truth flanking our sides. We have a reputation of sorts among other congregations in our fellowship. More than those, though, I want to be known as a dying church. We're denying ourselves rather than saving ourselves. We're picking up our cross instead of running from it. And we're following someone greater than ourselves is who we are. Not to raise us up above others, but to bring glory to the one who sacrificed all for us. If we are going to be called a church of Christ, what kind of Christ is an important question. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Doing any of these things as an individual is not easy. Doing them as a faith community is even harder, especially since having our mind on human things is kind of our thing, being a human, after all. Our task, then, is to continually return to Jesus, as Matthew has implored us, and trust that Jesus will meet us along the way. To do so, it takes leadership from those appointed as such. It takes wisdom from our oldest and from our youngest. It takes prayer from us all, because prayer gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. It also takes teachers who show us how. Thankfully, we have that one in spades. I have seen you lay down your lives for one another more times than I can possibly count. I have watched as you stooped underneath someone else's cross and suffered alongside them. I have sat at the feet of women and men here who followed Jesus to the unlikeliest of places and lived to tell about it. And in the last 2 years since I have preached this sermon, I have watched the call to discipleship play itself out within you. Rumors have reached me of how you are choosing to do so. Great joy. I am so grateful to be a part of a family like this one. Still, I believe there is more for us as a congregation. There is more for us right here. By the grace of God, the touch of Jesus, and the work of the Holy Spirit, let us move ever forward in the way we were taught, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him wherever he may lead us. And together, friends, sisters, brothers, we can say and we can type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we worship in song. Larry will come and lead us in this last one.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. You may sit down.
Thank you, Larry, for leading us in that song. Oh, to be like thee, which is our collective song and our collective prayer every time we gather together. It's moments like this one with bread in the cup before us that's been provided for us that we remember that, where we say, oh God, make us more like Christ and help us to see the Christ in each other. So we'll do that now. We have the bread and the cup. As I said, it's been prepared for us. If you're interested to help me pass out, help me share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large, you can come forward after I pray and we'll do just that. Let's pray together. This is indeed our collective song and our collective prayer, O God, that you would make us more like you. So give us courage to see what that could look like. Give us ears to hear what that could mean. We see it and we hear it directly as we share this bread and this cup with one another, where no one is left out, for you have given it to all. And now we get to share it with great joy and gratitude, for it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, friends, we also have an opportunity to give. So let's do so with glad hearts and with generosity. Jessica, I'm assuming you're helping today. Thank you for that. And Glenn as well. They will walk around with a couple of these trays. If you have any of those cards from earlier, you may have seen them up on the screen. Any of your contribution, tithes, offerings, will receive it that way. Also online or bringing it to the office is also just fine. And thank you for that. Let's pray together. We do give you thanks, O God, for the ways you have given to us. And you continue in moments like these to teach us to be givers as well. So would you bless today what is offered, for it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters. Go for it, Jels. There it goes, yes. All right, we have our prayer team, our prayer group that meets on Wednesday nights here up at the building. And you can be a part of that if you like. 7 o'clock here on Wednesdays, and you saw briefly the next slide. Thursday Bible class, it resumed just a couple of days ago and will continue on through this semester. Andrea is teaching on the Psalms. Psalm 1, I believe, this last time. Is that correct? 1 was this last time. 8 is this upcoming one. Okay. 8 is next. Excellent. Psalm 8 this upcoming Sunday. This is our last time to announce this. Sunny Glen Children's Home, a children's home that this church is supported in various ways for years. They're coming by on September 12th to pick up some of these items. So if you have anything that you would like to contribute to them, now is the time to get those in. And before I get to this, perhaps you saw in your bulletin today, our church washing machine has bid it. It is done. So if you have an extra one that's sitting in your garage that you do not need or touch, but you know works, we could use it, and I have a truck that can pick that up. So if you are available to give that or help us out in that way, we would be much appreciated. So I don't have to wash the church tablecloths at my house any longer. That would be nice. So if you have something to help out with that, just let me know. All right, stick around and be a part of one of these classes that you see up on the screen right there. They are all over the building, classes for our adults, for our young friends. We have our prayer team that meets in the prayer room. Hope that you can be a part of one of these today. All right, would you stand, please? Here's our benediction. This is from Matthew chapter 16, which we have talked about all morning. This is from the version called The Message, Matthew chapter 16. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I will show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. It's my way to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? With these words today, may we go forth in peace and in great purpose. Yes, sir.
I couldn't find my sheet for the last elders meeting.
Yeah.
Are we having one today?
We are. I believe we schedule that, so I can send out a link.
Okay. And then I'll send out a link.
Perfect.
Agenda.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that today.
Brent's in Denver? Or?
I believe he is, yes. I think he left on Saturday. Yeah. Thank you.